This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Timetable. God's timetable, hallelujah, is our thesis for today. And we want to, our text for today will be found in the book of Daniel in the 9th chapter at the 24th verse. Daniel 9:24, you'll find these words. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to bring reconciliation and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Hallelujah. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The Messiah, the prince, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, the prince, capital P, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince, small letter P, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Amen. Father, we bless you now. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Indeed, that is indeed true and faithful. We thank you for your word that is holy and righteous. And Lord God, we pray, Lord God, you'll bless your word today. We pray, Lord God, that you'll bless this segment for your glory. We pray you'll use it for your glory, Lord God. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray and thank you, Lord God. Ask that you will speak that your servants may hear. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. We determine to know what day, what month, and year it is because of our calendars. We determine to know what hour it is by what the dials on our watches indicate to us. The purpose of this message is to put us in tune with God's timetable, that we, the people of God, may better understand the will and purpose of God for this age in which we move and breathe and have our being. When we are finished with this segment today, we ought to leave with a greater reverence for the one who created time and set it in motion than just merely celebrating what time it is. There are no rewards in heaven for making it into 2007, but only doing the will of God in your life. Let us just take a few minutes to peek into the life of the man Daniel. Of the many positive characteristics of Daniel, the one that sticks out in my mind is that Daniel was a man of prayer. In a time when the whole nation of Israel was in bondage to Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar, this man Daniel rose to become the first among the three highest officers of the Medo-Persian Empire. And how did he do it? Did he do it by yielding to the temptation to become one of the crowd? By saying, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do? No, Daniel maintained his integrity. He stayed faithful to the teachings and precepts of God that he learned in his youth. He refused to defile himself by pigging out on the king's food, nor would he even drink his wine. Daniel was careful to glorify God with his life. Yes, Daniel even got in trouble, even to the point of death, because of his persistence in prayer. What about us, y'all? Has your prayer life ever gotten you in trouble? Does the least little interruption throw us out of our daily devotional to God in prayer and supplication? When the government issues a decree, and it will, already has in some instances and places in our country, that there will be no more public prayer, will you go home and open your windows, look toward heaven, and cry out to the Most High God? In the chapter of our text, we find Daniel again, as throughout this whole book, praying unto God. Another thing I like about Daniel is that he was a Bible student. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 2 informs us that Daniel had been reading the scriptures. He had been reading the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. I don't know, but Daniel probably read Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and a horror. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then maybe he read Jeremiah 29:11. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 weeks are accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return even to this place. You see, unlike most of us, Daniel was not so vain as to believe he had cornered the market on prophetic revelations. He accepted the prophecies of Jeremiah's coming from the Lord. Daniel understood as he read the books of Jeremiah, and 2 Timothy 3:16 confirms it, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And that his fellow prophet Jeremiah wrote only as he did by the word of the Lord. When Daniel understood the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, he had a specific aim, a specific need to pray for. If we are to pray with understanding, we must know what the will and purpose of God is. The Holy Bible is the Word of God and reveals His will and purpose. Prayer that pleases God is prayer that is in tune to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. You see, I may not know what all the needs of the church are, but the Holy Spirit does. It is He, according to 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11, that searches all things, even the mind of God. And when I am in tune with Him, I believe He is faithful to give me what to pray for. Amen. I know He is. I know He is because He's done it so many times in my life. I'm a witness because there are many a things that I have prayed concerning the church that no one knew about but God and me. And I've seen God's hand move in these matters. And I am careful to glorify God in all things. I'm not foolish to think it was because I prayed, but only because of the grace and sovereignty of God. If we maintain an attitude of prayer and reverence to God, then He will show us what we ought to pray for. If I study in God's word that we should have love one for another, and we are not demonstrating love one for another, then I know what to pray for. If I learn in God's word that we are to forgive one another, and there is no forgiveness amongst us, and only envy, strife, and bitterness, then I know what to pray for. I may not know that Sister Sally missed her rent payment and had to go to the benevolent committee, but I know that God will supply all our needs according to the riches of his glory. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add all kinds of things unto us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who is able to look beyond our smiling faces and search the innermost feelings of our hearts. You might not be willing to share some things with me because you know I can't hold water, because you hear how I talk about everyone else's private matters, and you can rest assured if that's the nature of my character, the Holy Spirit won't reveal nothing to me, not really, amen. But if I dare to be a Daniel, if I dare to live a life that glorifies God, if I keep my integrity intact, then God can and will use me. I just believe that. I hold to that. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. What he does for others, he'll do for you. One more thing I like about Daniel, and then we'll move on, is that Daniel was careful to empty himself of all self-glory and self-righteousness. Even though there is not a single sin or fault mentioned against Daniel in all the Bible, Daniel, at the beginning of his prayer, made his own confession, asking God to forgive him of his own sins. That's why I believe God set no time constraints on prayer. Amen. Some of us may take 1 hour just to get past the part of confessing our sin, while others of us who are so holy and righteous, mostly in our own sight, it may take 30 seconds. Whatever the case, however, it is not ours to criticize however long it takes us as individuals to pour out the burden of our hearts to God in private prayer. That's my point. Jesus only asked his disciples to, quote, watch, unquote, with him. And when he returned, he found them sleeping. He simply asked them if they could not watch with him 1 hour, which is obviously the length of time in which he was gone from them. It was Paul who, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. It is important that we acknowledge the hand of God in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Circumstances change. God does not. We as Christians have an obligation to God to remain aware of the goodness of God, regardless of appearances. Continuous prayer involves the position of our attitude to God, not necessarily the position of our bodies. We must be open to God in all situations and develop a practice of talking to God in all situations and about all situations. I believe when we do that, when we purpose in our hearts to stay in tune with God, the next response is that we become doers of God's word. My brothers and my sisters, if we dare to be a Daniel in our homes, in school, or on our jobs, in our church, when we truly submit our lives unto God and make ourselves available to him at all costs, then and only then do we become fruitful or profitable for the Lord. When we purpose in our hearts to be a vessel of honor unto the Lord and present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, then as Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, hallelujah, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Amen. This is the case in our chapter text there in Daniel 9:20 and through 23. And let me just read that for you, if you will. Daniel 9:20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He informed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. How long does it take for an angel to fly from heaven to earth? Amen. We have no idea, but it must be faster than light. Why? The time it took Gabriel to receive his instruction from the throne of God and to fly swiftly to tap Daniel on the shoulder must have been less than an hour, because the Jewish oblation lasted from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. This was the period the priest in the temple offered the sacrifice on the altar. It is called the ninth hour in scriptures. The reason the sacrifice had to be offered during the ninth hour was because the offering of an animal looked forward to the eternal sacrifice that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, hallelujah, was to make for us. It was in the ninth hour that Jesus finished his atoning work on the cross, where he died for the sins of the world. When Jesus died, he was buried. Anything dead ought to be buried. Likewise, Jesus was buried. But then something happened. Hallelujah. Jesus, on the third day, according to the scriptures, was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of the story. You see, 70 weeks would be 490 days in accordance with the Hebrew account of time. We read in Numbers 14 and 34, after the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. By the same Hebrew accounting of time, Gabriel informed Daniel that Israel would continue to bear their transgressions for 490 days, one day for a year, constituting a period of 490 years. The Hebrew word for a week is Shabuah, which simply means seven. So a week could be 7 days or 7 years. Now, we must be careful to keep this time ratio basis in its proper context. It is only used in relation to Israel. It is never used to account for the time for the Gentiles. That's why the Jews have their calendar, which consists of 12 months, with each month having 30 days or 360 days per Hebrew year. And Gentiles have theirs, the Julian calendar, which is the one we're familiar with. Amen. In none of our texts do we find that the 490 years had been consumed. We do not find the final expiration of the 70th week. The reason for this is that when Jews refused to enthrone the Messiah upon the throne of David, and he was cut off, God stopped the clock. The iniquity and transgressions of Israel caused God to breach his promise. But let us keep in mind that the promises of God are true, and he is faithful to perform it unto the end. And although the promise that God made to Israel is breached, it has not been canceled. Hallelujah. So there is a period of time between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. This period of time is called a quote unquote gap. This particular gap is the Gentile dispensation of grace. Amen. The age in which we are in right now, until this day, right now, today, an age which is called the church age, a time when God establishes a new and better covenant. Hallelujah. A time when God says, whosoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. A time when faith in his only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world, is available to all men. A time when God, according to 1 Peter 1 and 3, has, by the abundant mercy, begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. So for 2,000 years, so far 2,000 years have passed, and God's prophetic timetable concerning his promise to Israel has stood still. But that does not mean that God has stood still. God has been very busy raising up a new generation, a chosen generation, 1 Peter 2 and 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own. And why did he do it? So that we can show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. When you show forth the praises of God, things begin to happen. Amen. When you show forth the praises of God, there will be running in your feet. There is singing on your lips. There is testimony to the glory of God. There is a witness in our lives. When we lift up the name of Jesus, the world sees his light. Amen. And his spirit goes forth. He will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on Jesus, of righteousness because Jesus has gone to the right hand of the Father, and now you don't see him anymore, but it takes faith to believe on him, faith to trust him, faith to live right, faith to be obedient to his word, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Hallelujah. That's what you who belong to Jesus are more than conquerors. That is why you, my brothers and sisters, you and I, we who belong to Jesus, are more than conquerors, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. That's the urgency of the time. We, as the ambassadors of Christ, with the message of reconciliation, have a mandate to take the good news of Jesus Christ throughout this whole world. No man knows the day or the hour when the clock will begin again, but we do have a sign in Daniel 9:27. Hallelujah. The minute, listen to me now, the minute the prince of the revived Roman Empire, who we know as the Antichrist, will affix his signature to a treaty with the government of Israel, confirming the covenant, that is the one that God made with Abraham, an agreement to the effect that the land of Palestine be given to his seed for a future mighty nation, an everlasting inheritance, Genesis 12:1-2, also Genesis 17:6-8. When this treaty between Israel and the Arab nations is signed, the 70th week begins, a time of tribulation and great tribulation, a time when the true church, not those who merely profess Christ, but those who are possessed by Christ, will be caught up to meet him in the air. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, let us get our house in order. Let us hurry to complete the only mission we have, and that is, amen, to win souls and to make them disciples unto Jesus Christ, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all that will have an ear, that is, that will have a desire to know and to understand, to receive him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And if you're listening today, amen, we pray that you will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying into your heart. Hear what the Holy Spirit is striving to get you to striving to your heart, that you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The promise is that you will be saved. Amen. You will be saved. Amen. From unto salvation. You will be saved unto eternal life. And you will be saved from the wrath of God that is to come upon all the children of disobedience. Amen. You today have this day an opportunity to begin to be born again. Hallelujah. To be born again. Amen. Into the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. Amen. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what's on the heart of God right now. Amen. For God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. In this age in which we live, and in this time, in this moment in which we live, God's grace is going forth. We live in this age of God's grace, God's unmerited favor, amen, God's unfathomable, immeasurable riches of his grace toward all, every soul that is alive in this age, in this day in which we live. Oh, I pray that the grace of God will be preached. Amen. That the goodness of God will be preached and manifest through everyone that belongs to him in this age. And we pray that you indeed will receive Jesus Christ. Amen. The only means of unto salvation, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world, that you will receive his saving work into your heart and receive him as Lord and Savior. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've never professed faith in him, if you've never been born again, amen, won't you pray this prayer with me? Won't you consider what is available to you today? Won't you reconsider your ways? Reconsider where you're going without God and Christ in your life, and can turn, amen, from walking from God and turn your heart to God today. Won't you pray this prayer with me today? Repeat after me today to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Say this prayer with me. Dear God, I am a sinner. Dear God, I cannot save myself. Dear God, I believe the Bible that says Jesus Christ is the only one that can save me. So, dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I give you my will. I give you my mind. I give you my body. I give you my heart. I give you all of me. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you.